This is the Kinky Cast, an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 136 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. Today, we will be speaking with Ace Talking Wolf on sex after marriage. Here's your hosts, Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting next to me is the Beast. How are you tonight?
Hey, Woody. It's moderating around here. It's a little cooler.
It's nice.
Yeah, well, I won't go that far.
Oh, okay.
I won't go that far, but it's nicer.
On the other end of the line is Ace Talking Wolf. How are you, man?
Hey, hey, hey. How's it going?
From beautiful Atlanta.
Yes, I'm a little jealous of your cool weather over there.
Yes, we'll send it your way along with some water.
I just heard it outside the window.
There it is. It's already there.
And we're not a least bit jealous of your traffic.
Yeah, really. Keep it.
Yeah. No, I don't want the traffic. I'm originally from Indiana. Our traffic was fine up there.
You didn't have traffic in Indiana.
That's true. Indianapolis, it's a real city.
It's a real city. Actually, it's bigger than Nashville by numbers.
Yeah.
So Ace comes to us with an interesting observation on life. And we were talking at Frolicon a few months back. He said, let's talk about sex after marriage. I went,
Woody, that's a short topic, isn't it?
Well, it is for a lot of people. And I think Ace is going to bring perspective to that.
Why's it got to be a size issue?
All right. I am going to be a doubting Thomas and convince me otherwise. I've had two wives.
I've had more.
Oh, you've had more. Okay.
I'm the son here. I got the one ex-wife.
Yes, you are, Junior.
Yeah. You got some catching up to do. I hope you don't do it.
Tell me what your observation was after the fact.
Well, okay. First, you have to explore the idea of what sex was like during marriage. And in order to understand what it is afterwards. And as I said before, if the guys out there, like myself, your sex life kind of becomes this thing. I kind of elect it to an apple. All right. The first time you have sex with a woman and she complains, let's say right after marriage, and she says, "Ooh, I don't like that." And you go, "Oh, okay." So you kind of take your apple and you take a knife and you just cut that. Okay, won't ever do that part again. Okay, and then later on down, she does it again. And you take that out of your sex life again. You keep doing that, and you end up with a square. Your apple is no longer this juicy, delicious thing. It is this boring block. And that's what your sex is towards the end of marriage. You end up with this horrible, just one-way thing. And she actually comes to you one day and says, "Why don't you do that thing you used to do?" And that's either where you divorce her or strangle her to death at that point.
Because that part of the apple has rotted away.
It's, you bitch, I did exactly what you... This should be perfect sex, according to all computer manuals.
Well, here's the thing. People change all the time.
Yes.
And so what was off the table 10 years ago is now...
And that's the part a lot of guys don't know. Females are... symbolized as water, and it's very true about their nature as well. This is just observation. I'm not like quoting from any books or anything, so if anyone's like saying, "Well, you're not a doctor," but the point is, women change. They like you said, one day they're saying, "I hate that," the next day they're saying, "I like that thing you used to do." And if you're able to continue to change during your marriage, during sex like that, and go, just stop it for a little while, but come back. She might have been bloated. She might have been, you know, ate something funny that day, or just whatever her day was.
Or a bad mood or whatever.
Exactly. She's going to want to do it again. And it took me my marriage to learn that. I didn't have somebody to let me know about that kind of thing. And I never really thought about it, too, because I kept with what I said earlier. I wanted to be me, and I didn't want to let go of me. I didn't want to become Mr., you know, Talking Wolf. I wanted to be Ace still. And because of that, I held on to my old convictions and my old ways and my way of doing things. And these were all mistakes. And it took me losing my marriage and finding a lot of great other women out there to educate me in this. A lot of communication during sex.
So, Ace, you're saying that women are prone to changing their mind.
And you men, too.
That would be obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think human beings are prone to changing their mind. Take any politician, for instance.
No. Some of them never change their minds.
Well, I have an understanding. Again, from what I see, a lot of the women who I've encountered, friends and my own mother, for this instance, they marry right out of high school. They end up with these guys that they a lot of times don't regulate. They have a very bad marriage by the end of it because they've let the guy do whatever he wants. And they just say, well, he'll change one day. And instead, what they get is he doesn't change. He gets worse. He becomes more dominant, more domineering, and more demanding. And he thinks it's okay because she's never slapped him down like a puppy. And so by the end of it, she has a terrible marriage with this guy. Now, this wasn't my case, but like I said, I've seen this in other friends of mine and other people who've had bad marriages. And my belief is that because it is so necessary for you to go out and look and observe and actually have some experience before you get married to this kind of person. Hell, I find that when I was younger, the older women were the best choice to date. They wanted the same thing I did. Straight sex. No questions, no problems.
I have always found older women to be better. They usually be the better choice.
Yeah.
Plus, I've got a 24-year-old, so yeah. So I better not say that always. But men, I don't think we ever mature.
Well, no, I think we mature differently. I don't think that women necessarily, the old adage that they mature quicker. I think that a young woman is just like a boy in early life. They're exactly the same when they play together and they do things together. And then one day someone says, oh, you're bleeding. Okay, everything changes now. And now they're inundated with all of this crap. They're told, oh, okay, you got to do this every month, and you got to do this, or you're going to die. You could get diseases. You could get pregnant. And it's just fear. And pretty soon, they don't want to talk to mom anymore. They don't want to talk to big sister. And they sure as hell don't want to talk to any teachers. So they look around, and they say, okay, well, who can I talk to about this? Well, I can't talk to the boys. They're idiots. They're still these little kids. So they're looking for someone that's like their dad, who isn't their dad. And so a lot of young women getting with older men. And this is where they get taken advantage of. But it really is their perfect match in that sense.
Well, it's a maturity thing, as you're talking about. I know a number of women that only will date somebody 10 years or more older because they feel that anybody they date in their age range is just too immature for them.
My last girlfriend was exactly 21 years difference to me. And I had a great time with her. However, I did let her know, you know, as an artist and someone who doesn't make regular paychecks, that it's I might make $1,000 this month, but then next month, maybe not as much. And I told her, I said, I don't have anything to offer you that a young man could. I said, I love you and I have a great time with you, but don't look at me as your man, you know. Good time with me for now, but I won't be offended if you move on to someone closer to your age. You know, that's a huge age gap, and hell, you know, she could be really into me, and I could kick it off, and I don't know. Is that looking at it too dark?
No. I am just thinking the latest rage Pokemon. I have no idea what it is.
I know what it is. I just don't have any interest in it.
But I remember vaguely a cartoon and some trading cards, but they were on the shelf while I was busy buying groceries and other things, and I missed that part. And now is the latest rage. So I think there is the experiences that often define a generation, and depends on how much importance a person puts on that versus a broader look at humanity, I think, of how the people click.
Yeah, I think that there's nothing wrong with a huge age gap between two people. I don't have any problem with that. But it is completely fantasy to believe that there isn't going to be a problem like that eventually. The things that the next generation loves, I don't necessarily love those things. You know, or the, like you said, there would be a technology along that I'm just going to be a dope. I don't use a cell phone, and I have no interest in really learning how to use one. Of course, it did make me have a problem with my new Android computer that I got, but but that's the thing. I don't sit there on the little cell phone every 5 seconds playing Pokemon or whatever. And that's going to be someone's life. And I'm like, that's not me.
Well, you know, age is a number. And it's not so much about what that number is. It's about matching up common interest, common maturities. And when things mesh and the gear fits together, then you've got something good. And
absolutely.
In my own relationships between my submissives and slaves, my slave is 21 years younger than me. On the same token, we fit very well. She
yeah.
likes what I like. I like what she likes. And we don't see a generation gap between us.
Right. Like I said, I have no problem with it. I was just in the same relationship. But I also don't know that that's going to be the girl that I'm going to, you know, end my days with. And I start thinking like an older brother or even a father, and I want her to have a life of her own too. So I don't want to cheat her of time when she might be able to get with someone who's going to eventually be her husband. And that's what I was seeing with this one. You know, not that there was anything wrong with our relationship. I just couldn't offer her the money or the lifestyle that she might deserve.
Ace, let's circle back.
Yes.
You were talking about our parents' generation.
Yeah.
And the longevity of those relationships, even though they had often a weak foundation. The couples coming together that felt the need to come together but weren't really good matches. Can you overcome those foundational problems sexually?
Sexually, always. But you have to be able to communicate with each other, and you always have to be able to compromise for each other. I mean, that's like the first rule. This is something that my wife never could fully understand. I mentioned this before the broadcast that she was against oral sex, not just giving it, but also receiving it. She didn't even like that. And that happened before I even came along, so it wasn't some mistake that I was having. Although it made me feel very insecure after hearing that, because then I'm like always wondering, am I doing something that she's going to hate even further or ruin her idea of it, you know, more. And what it comes down to is one small understanding that it is better to give than to receive. If you go into all sex with the idea that you're there to give, then both of you will have incredible sex together. I really enjoy going down on a woman, and I love when a woman adores doing it to me. And you ignore anything that might normally be something. Okay, if I see a hair in my suit, I don't want to eat that suit. But if there's hair down there, I'm not going to stop. I'm impassioned. It's part of the pleasure that I'm giving this person and feeling their body writhe around me that makes it exciting. And just as the stories I was talking about earlier, it's not the reading the stories that excited me, but it was writing a story that excited someone else that excited me.
You mentioned something, Ace, that I need to clear up. Hair down there?
That's not a difficult one, I don't think.
I haven't seen it in so long. I have forgotten that the humans come with it.
Mr. Natural there.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, that's hard thanks to Google, because if you type in, I like a little hair, you're going to get, like, that's not what I meant.
All right, Chewie.
Yeah.
All right, Chewie.
Oh, goodness.
No, I think it's just having an understanding that humans grow hair, and all this unnatural Barbie doll shaving and everything off. That's great if that's your thing, if that's, you know, what you're into, but don't force it on everybody in the community. Don't go on and make fun of those people who do have hair, or go out there and say, oh, it's so disgusting that someone has hair on them.
It's a personal preference. Yeah. Everybody's exactly. Different. Everybody likes something.
It's even more important with your partner.
Oh, yeah.
To be in mutual agreement on certain things. Well, on many
hair,
things.
But not through hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anal sex, oral sex.
Yeah. The breast job.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but my view on anal sex is pretty much it's so much better on paper.
Sex is so much better on paper.
Yeah.
That's so
across
true.
The board.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We have these peak moments, but as a general rule, it's much better on paper.
Yeah. The old imagination. I have these wonderful dreams. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Then you're in practice and you're like, why is this? Okay. I have a story for you there. The very first three-way, I'm kind of an idiot when it comes to picking up signs. This may be why my marriage failed. But this goes all the way back to my first time I ever had with a woman. You know, we're playing around. She's we're both about 13 years old and in a nice secluded area. I thought nobody could see us. And we're touching and handsy. And since I was 13 and really had never seen the anatomy of a woman before, except for in books and like Playboy and stuff like that, I'm reaching down there and I have no idea what I've got my hands in, because it's not just like a hole that you just plug. So I realize as I'm reaching around in there, it's more like a glove, a rubber glove on the ground. And I'm trying to find my finger holes for it. And,
never heard it described that way, but okay.
This is a new one. Yeah.
Except wet. Yeah. But I'm reaching around down there and trying to figure it out, and I have no idea that she is going crazy, because I'm paying more attention to what I'm doing, and I'm trying to figure it out.
You're trying to do the textbook thing, you know, there's a hole there somewhere.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to plug in a socket here, you know? So she hops up, and she's like, oh, let's go for a walk. And I'm like, okay, thinking, oh, I failed. I'm so miserable. So we start heading back. And she takes a straight line path back to the camp. And we have a big camper, say, and a big van to pull the camper with. And she gets there. She's like, oh, so where do you sleep? And I said, oh, I have to sleep in the van. My parents, they sleep in the big, cool, you know, camper and everything. But I have to sleep in the stupid van, the luxury van with the bed that automatically goes down, the mood lighting, all that. Hey, let's go on the beach. So... not getting it at all. We go straight to the beach and we have sex in sand.
Oh my. Oh.
And if I might verify that for those listeners who might be in nice beached areas, Florida sand is very different. And it has stuff in it and it doesn't smell good. And this was on the Keys. So, you know, that ocean rot smell. And it was very dark, and we couldn't see anything. And I just said, the 21-year-old, later, I didn't know what it was like to be with a virgin with her because I forgot from that experience what it was like, how horrible it was. So it was like I was with a virgin for the first time when I was with a 21-year-old.
But think about it. From the time we're pubescent, we're thinking about having a virgin. And it again, on paper, it looks really good.
Yes. Yeah, it was okay, but it wasn't like, oh my God, it was so wonderful. It was just like, hey, you know, I got someone's V card. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's it for the boys. Then the girls have a whole different experience, popping high ends and things like that.
I thought they would know what they were doing. Yeah.
Well, it's always good when one of the people knows what's going on.
Well, I thought I did. There was a lot of differences down there with her that, like I said, didn't get that whole thing. And I, you know, there's really a lot of men and women who really don't know that there isn't so much as a hymen, that there isn't like a trampoline that you're breaking through. That in fact, it's more like a ring of balloons
right. That
kind of can break, but not necessarily.
Yeah. And come back together too.
Exactly.
Ace, have you ever found two that were exactly alike?
Oh, no. No, I really haven't. No.
Impossible.
I have been with a lot of women, believe it or not. But I was going to mention the three-way, and this was another one of my moronic moments, because a good friend of mine was coming on to me on my couch, and next to her was her ex-boyfriend, the man who actually made a baby with her, and he was a African-American gentleman. And although he was just as nerdy as I was, and every other way, he seemed like a challenge for me. And so when she started leaning over and kissing on him, I thought, oh, well, date's over, I guess. I guess they're going to end up getting together. And then she puts her hand on my thigh, and I go, oh.
Welcome back.
Yeah. And I said, okay, well, I've never done this before. This will be interesting. And we head to the bedroom. Again, I was a little worried when he dropped trow and a tree trunk fell out of his pants. I said, okay, that is a challenge. But okay, I can just stay at my end and he can stay at his end and we'll make these things work. But again, women. This woman knew a lot more about sex than I did. And she didn't want to leave me at one end. She said, no, I want you both back there. And I was like, okay, well, I've seen this in porn. I think I could probably handle this.
The best instruction manuals in the world, right?
No problem. That's right. Yeah. Porn does not lie.
Yeah, everybody pick a position at this point.
So you'd think that from my previous experience, I would understand that women are not like a plug in the wall. And you don't just plug two cords in.
Standardized.
,Yeah. Nope. Once again, women are elastic and very, very elastic, apparently. And I really can't describe it anywhere different from, like, if Moby Dick was trying to get through a tunnel and then you decided to take a really close tunnel and you weren't Moby Dick. Even that doesn't really describe it. The tunnel would have to actually be rubber and like closing in on you, because I just kept getting shoved out and I couldn't understand how the thing worked. I don't know. To this day, I don't know how porn stars both get in at the same time, especially if you're not equal, let's just say.
My experience with the DP is about 33 seconds. And that was it.
Quickie.
Did you have to start in? Because we did it a lot of different ways. He went first. And then I came in second. We switched from top to bottom. Now I'm going in vagina. He's going in anal. And
she was elastic then.
Oh, yeah. This just never really worked. I even got in first and said, okay, now you get in. No, it just did not want to happen. And she had a great time. She didn't care.
I don't think it can work with anybody less than about 10 or 12. You need that flexibility in positions.
I think you also need a woman with a bigger set of holes, too, because she was not a huge woman either. Yeah.
We've seen it in porn. We know it's possible. Obviously, You know, all the outtakes that hit the floor where they couldn't get in or whatever is left out of the final cut. And we just see, oh, wham, bam, here it is.
Right.
Two dicks.
See, I'm a movie maker. Yeah. I know these things. It's all special effects.
Right. There you go.
You know?
CGI.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the porn part we don't see is like 2 hours of sizing up, you know, with devices, you know, before the man even gets in there, she's got plugs. She's got helpers, the female equivalent of fluffers. Right. You know?
And the male equivalent of fluffers, they're keeping everybody happy.
Yeah, because if I walk away for 5 minutes, I'm not staying Mr. Happy. I'm like, windsock again at that point. Like,
there's performance anxiety, especially when you bring another person in. Then yes. Performance anxiety comes on stage.
Well, it's also, you know, it's only natural for men to feel inferior to, especially since this is the first time. See, we're not used to just looking at another man's cock. I mean, that's if you're raised as I was, just an average male, heterosexual, we don't just look at guys' penises every day, you know, any more than we do each other in the face. One of the eroticism of being with someone else, and also one of the reasons why photography is very, very intimate, is because you're staring at someone, something that we're taught not to do. And so now you're doing it, and you're forcing them to stare at you. Well, it creates a relationship, a bonding with that person. No, we don't bond with other guys' penises. We don't just sit and stare at them. We're told if you go into the urinals to park
look
it.
Look away. Look
at least
away.
At three away from the other. Yeah. If you're standing right next to a guy, you're a little funny. But no, this is that opportunity. This is the first time that I was literally looking right at the guy's thing, and then not only looking at it, trying to figure out how to make it work. Because soon this is going to be very close to me. In fact, it is going to be touching me. So, you know, how do you feel about that?
But Acey says she was happy.
She was extremely happy. You know, I still have a great memory of her face buried into the pillows, bottoms up, and just a groaning look in her mouth. As an artist, it was one of those moments I wish I had my camera for. Mm-hmm. You know, just to get a picture of her face, because it was absolute pleasure.
The great thing about it is she enjoyed all the attention she was getting.
Oh, yes,
you
sir.
Were being the scientific guy with the slide rule and the calipers and trying to figure out yes. how to mechanically make this thing work.
Yeah. And he was actually very accommodating. He was not a jerk, and he wasn't a guy that had a problem with other men being in the room. You know, I don't remember him being that way or acting macho or anything like that.
As you bring that up, there's something there. When two guys are touching,
yes,
some people can get homophobic.
Yeah.
Some people have proximity issues.
Yes.
And other people are just cool with it.
Our culture that has made us this way. Yeah.
It absolutely is. But if you're going to go into something like a three-way or a quad or whatever it is, and there's somebody else on the bed with you, you know, you're going to brush thighs with it or other parts. It's just a reality. And, you know, get over yourself, people. If you're here to have fun, concentrate on what the fun should be and stop worrying about somebody else seeing, touching, or feeling you.
If you want to have the porn experience, you gotta get in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't be afraid of sex. If you want to be a sex guy, you gotta try things. I'm not saying, you know, get elbows deep in another man, you know, unless that's your thing. But you can't be afraid of it. Now, I had a person that was very much into me when I was younger and pretty. And there was a time. I was 19, and someone said, hey, you know, the haunted house is done. Let's go have an orgy somewhere. And I jokingly said, my place is available. And about 6 of us gathered together over there, and we had no idea what we were doing. So I got out the dice that you get at Spencer's, the ones with the positions, did that in Truth or Dare, and pretty soon everybody's pairing off. It worked just fine getting it started. We also made sure we had condoms, by the way, just to throw that out there. But at one point, this guy had brought his girl to be someone that could get with me. She was supposed to be my partner during that. And she decided halfway that she was not into it. She just chickened out, basically. And I didn't want to force anything, so I backed off. I guess he felt bad, so he started touching me. I could have decided at that point, hey, man, just back off. I'm heterosexual. There's always a moment, I think, in a lot of heterosexual men's minds where you don't know. And you question your own sexuality from then on because of that. So I said, you know, here's the challenge. Let's see what it does. And so he went down on me. Without another word, I just let him. I just sat back. Well, I want to say that it was kind of like a turtle trying to get away by going through the other side of its own body.
Interesting.
I was actually very embarrassed because, I was not shrinking. I was running away and down there. You know, it's not for lack of trying. He really tried hard. And I was just like, okay, it's just not working, man. I'm sorry. Like, I obviously am just not into guys. And it's true. I don't like the structure of man's face. It does nothing for me as a turn on. You know, maybe if the man looked exactly like a woman, not a problem.
Isn't that the Olympics?
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about that right now.
Yeah, about the intersex athlete competing in the women's track and field.
Oh, hentai.
You know, the thing is, society has conditioned us into this pseudo-homophobia. And I say pseudo because, you know, I'm certainly not homophobic. I don't necessarily desire to go hop in bed with a guy. But if I'm next to a guy who's doing something with somebody I'm with, I'm good being there. You know,
yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. I'm not going down on him. He's not going down on me.
Well, see, that's the thing. After that moment, I never had a problem again. I have had orgies. I was at one where, you know, things just happen. My girlfriend started messing around with me, and we were in a large crowd of people that were all sleeping in the same room. I had just told one of them to kind of be quiet so we could sleep, actually. But like 3 minutes after I said that, she started touching me, and next thing I know, we are just full on going at it. And this guy leans over and he goes, I thought you were tired.
You will be in a minute, yeah.
Exactly. But I had no problem there. I am not necessarily an exhibitionist, but I don't have a problem with doing it in rooms where lots of people are. And I was at a event not too long ago, about a couple of years ago, might have been Frolicon, and they had a 1776 Hellfire Club party. I was just there with the violet wand and just doing, you know, little violet wanding people. And a girl who I had talked to downstairs had come upstairs, and I put my stuff to the side and sat on the couch, and she got right on my lap. And after doing some touching, I realized that she was ready to go. And she said, can we do this here? And I just looked over to my right, and my boss was literally sitting on the couch next to me there. And he goes, God damn it. If no one has sex at my party, I'm going to be pissed. And I said, well, I'll oblige you there,
okay,
sir.
Okay, we'll take care of that.
And we went at it. I'm also not the glass box type of person. If I'm having sex in a room with other people, I don't like acting like no one else is there. I actually will lift a skirt a little bit so they can get a good view of her or whatever. I will acknowledge my friends if they say hi.
We appreciate men like you.
He's helpful.
I feel bad if I'm in a room where people are having sex and they don't acknowledge you, like we're all alone in space. It's like, no, there's other people there. Acknowledge them. They're your friends. Have fun with everybody, you know? You don't have to touch anybody. Just you are in a room full of people and you are screwing.
We've gone way down a different path here. So let's pull it back to the original subject. We were talking about sex after marriage, but let's talk about sex before marriage.
Okay.
So you're dating, you're hot and heavy, it's all good. You're having sex literally twice a day. Life is good.
Right.
And you get married.
What happens?
Life starts to get in the way. You work a long day at work, you come home, you're tired, you just don't feel like it's not working for you. Same next night, it's not working for her. Goes on like that, and then you have to bicker a little bit up, paying bills, and you know, you're just not feeling very sexy at the time. Then you have kids.
Yeah.
And then you go off the rail, you know, just getting time together. And if you don't force the issue to get time together, you're not going to have it.
There's a couple things that I think our society does, and I don't know why this is. Number one, you mentioned the kids. Why are people so afraid of having sex in the same house as their kids?
Oh, don't make a noise. They'll hear you.
I don't care. I'm sorry.
They should hear something. It's your role modeling appropriate, healthy adult behavior.
You make it a fearful thing. You make it a taboo thing. And then you wonder why they want to go and do it. Well, you've made it the forbidden fruit. Now, I'm not saying open the doors and let them come in and watch. But you don't have to be so secretive. They're going to watch a movie. They're going to see a commercial. They're going to realize you're doing it in there.
A few episodes back, we had Emmy in from a Nashville project where she's recommending books for parents about how to talk to your kids about sex. And yeah. I think that's a really important thing, because if it is the forbidden fruit that you just never talk about and you hide it and all these things, this is where it's going to go really wrong. I know that's the way I was raised. It's, you know, don't ever talk about it. And then all of a sudden I went into puberty and had wet dreams, and I didn't know what it was all about until I was looking at Playboy and I'm going, oh, I want some of that, but I didn't know anything.
There are ways of doing it appropriately. There are ways of doing it gaudy. I'm not saying when your child is too old to put in the bathtub and wash, which is what, 4, 6, whatever you feel weird about, then, you know, that's the time you should be asking yourself, okay, they're going to start asking questions. They're going to hear noises. They're going to see something on TV. They're going to hear somebody talking at school. You know, this is the time when you should start at least giving them a rough idea of what's going on, I think. Like I said, without being vulgar, there are many ways to talk to your kids. You can be clinical, even though they may not understand it. You can at least show them animals and say, you know what those two are doing? They're making a baby.
And that was the one thing that Emmy was talking about, is don't use childish names for body parts.
Right.
Because then it's creating a stigma at that point.
Yeah. I mean, you can give it to them on a level that they're going to understand. I mean, like I said, I don't want to be like, the labia and the clitoris, that's not necessary.
Doctor Anatomy.
Yeah, exactly.
Anne was showing me just yesterday, they have a model, a 3D model of a clitoris now for educational purposes.
The one big, with the roots that go all the way down?
Yep.
Yes. I have that on my refrigerator.
You're a sick man, Ace.
No, I actually had to pull that out. Hey, if you're a bachelor, do what you want, okay? I have adults over my house. I don't have children over my house. Well, that's not true. I put things away when they come over. But I do have it on my refrigerator, and nobody notices it. Nobody just looks at that and says, is that a vagina?
No, it's a wishbone.
It's Mary Magdalene right there. That's what that is. But I did have to pull that out and show a girl once, because she got in an argument with me over how many holes that a woman has in her body down there. I was making a joke, you know, and I said, there's three options. I don't know what to do. And she goes, no, there's not three. And I said, what? And she absolutely thought that the vagina has one hole.
Really?
Yes. She was absolute on that. And I said, okay, let's get a mirror and let's find out. And she had never done that. She'd never seen herself up close like that.
Now, if you go to the porn industry, you got women like Denny O, and they have an extra hole. They use the urethra.
Well, considering the fact that many women that I've talked to aren't into porn at all. They find it kind of silly, or, you know, they want to laugh about it or whatever, so they don't really watch it so much. You know, I'm not saying that women don't watch porn.
But especially men's porn, you know, there's porn made for women that they're very into.
Yeah. I mean, it really, again, it comes up to the woman, but ones that I have talked to, they're just not into it. I don't pull it out and say, hey, let's watch a porn together. Although they might do that just so that you're excited so they can play around with you. You know, there's a lot of fewer of the women that I've been with would tell you that they sit down alone and masturbate to porn. And I think that's part of it. We're looking at this thing that we're studying all the time. Whereas the women are like, yeah, that's down there. It does some stuff. And every now and then I have to do maintenance, but I don't really want to read the manual on it.
I think there's a generational issue because the younger I have found women that have enjoyed the internet porn, which is usually male porn.
More generations are changing.
Yeah.
I'm glad for that. And I'm not sure that the girls there are old enough to do anything with yet. but yeah, I think that that's a big difference from the old generation.
Let's look at enabling here. You look at FetLife, and there is so many people showing it all,
yeah,
male and female, much more than generations ago. And so there is a certain freedom about showing your body.
Oh, absolutely.
Which has changed some of the sexual mores along the way.
But it's not everybody.
No, it's not everybody.
That's the problem. Because although we get jaded, you and I and Beast back there, we've seen things in our lives. We've done things in our lives and knows things like this. But that doesn't mean the person you're dating does any of that or is going to. And no matter how much you try to explain to them, you're not going to say it in a way that they don't think is gross.
Well, there's dating A and there's dating B. Dating A is plain vanilla dating, which is full of lies and
tropes.
Putting it out there.
Better word.
Right. Tropes. Okay.
Tropes.
Then there's dating B, which is the kinky side, where we're a lot more honest with what we are, what we expect, all that sort of stuff. And I'm finding that I could never do vanilla dating again.
I have to say, I disagree with you there because it is a taboo. And once something becomes a taboo, it becomes much more fun.
You're turning vanilla dating into a taboo?
It is.
You're
it
a sick man, Ace.
He's almost right.
Let me put it this way. Beast is with me here, I think.
Yeah.
I worked at a place, I better not say the name of it, but it was a peer-type store. You know, like Pier 1, those kind of places.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't Pier 1, just so you know. It was another one. It's gone now, but it was very popular back in early 2000s. And it was almost run entirely by women, at least at the store that I worked at. And a lot of them were older women, the cougar age types. But there was a couple young ones. And they were very vanilla. Very realtor. You know, either between being a realtor or being like a housewife that worked there. And there was one female in particular who was extremely cute. She was the very typical housewife, a good wife, not even thinking about having sex with anybody else. But that didn't make her any less attractive to me. And one night we were talking. I don't know if you noticed this, but I do talk a lot. And somehow in the conversation, it turned. And she turns to me at one point, just before we're about to close, and she goes, "So if I was to ask for anal sex from my husband, how would I begin that conversation?" And my brain locked up for a second. Like, did I just hear her say what I thought she said? That was an eroticism for me at home for many a day after that. But, yeah, somehow I got this vanilla woman to start talking about something that you would never imagine her talking. Church lady, completely. And yet, they still have the same urges. They still have the same things. They just don't display them.
The thing is, she had a frustration going, and she finally found you were safe, and she vented to you. You know, that's all good and cool and wonderful.
And just so people know, I did not do anything with her other than talk.
I am disappointed.
No.
I thought you were going to run it up the flagpole there.
One of the things, since we were talking about postmarital sex, the relationships I've gotten into, I've actually told them because my wife did sleep around and we were in a non-poly relationship, I decided afterwards to start exploring open relationships. And the first woman who asked me to get into a relationship with her was married. And I told her, I said, I don't want to do anything without talking to your husband first. and we became real good friends, the three of us. They have a great couple of kids and everything, and what we did together, we kept it completely separate from the rest of the family, but he was well aware that we were doing it, and that's the only way I do it. I do not go in there to destroy a marriage, and in fact, when she was done, I walked away, and I'm still friends with them. And I've done this with a couple different relationships I've been in. And it's not as hard to walk away as people think. It ruins relationships when people get greedy and they want to take over that other relationship. You should always be submissive. And I don't mean this in a BDSM way, but you should always be submissive to the original couple. It's time to go. It's time to go.
Speaking of time to go, we're almost done here. And I just wanted to say one last thing. We've talked about sex before marriage, sex during marriage, and then now after divorce. All of a sudden, things are all reset back to free game again.
Yeah.
And you have to go back and remember all the old tricks of that apple that you cut off.
It took a while.
And you got to put them all back together and test them out on a new audience.
It took me roughly 5 years to get back to where I felt as confident as I did in the glory days.
Wow.
When two people are together, they mesh and they root together. It's like putting your hands together like that. And when they divorce, they literally rip apart. And if you know computers, just like a root program takes some of the data out of these areas, well, that's you. You're now without those pieces. And here's the problem. When people get married right after they were just in a divorce, they come back together and it's like a bad weld. You see all the holes? You just kind of put your fingers tips together like that.
Mm-hmm.
As all those holes are in both of you, okay? You're not a true person again. You're just kind of a mesh. And people do that back and forth, but they never really do it. I think that after divorce, you need to become a full person yourself before you start trying to mesh with another person again. That way, it's fair to both of you.
Wise words from Ace.
Thank you.
So on that note, we need to wind this thing up. I want to thank you for joining us tonight and talking about certainly a lot of subjects on relationships and sex and how it works and how it doesn't. And that's the thing. Let's certainly bring it back to the point where we can be whole ourselves and then share what we have. That's what we're all about.
I loved our conversation.
Ace, I am enlightened. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Beast. Thanks, Woody. I had a great time.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Bye.
You have been listening to episode 136 of the Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we speak with Primal Times and a new twist on public proxies.